on a communion Sunday and had opportunity to be traveling with Susan yesterday and listening to Moody Radio and on her phone, and we're listening to Dr. Tony Evans speak at a conference, a pastor's conference in Moody. And he was sharing with pastors about the Word of God and how Jesus needs to be the main thing of everything that we do. And he made a really neat perspective, and I hadn't really thought about this, and so I'll share it with you. I love football, and so I'm excited about the season coming up. And what's always interesting, and if you just think about professional football, there's 52 men on each team. There's a crowd of people gathered around, depends on how big of the stadium will be. And then there's guys in the middle of that stadium on the field called referees. And they've been given a book, and I think their office is in New York, but I don't know for sure. But they've been given a book and said, this is how the game of football should be played. These are the rules to the game of football. And there's going to be times in the game where the crowd's going to be really excited about those referees because they made a call for their team. And there's going to come a time in that game when there's going to be lots of people that can't stand those guys and think they're the dumbest people that ever walk on the face. How could you miss such an obvious call? But what's interesting is Tony Evans described us as Christians as like being the referees. And no matter what the crowd says, we've been given a rule book. It's called the Word of God. And it doesn't matter how big one of those 52 member players are of this NFL team. It doesn't matter how fast they are. That doesn't matter. There's a rule book that was given to the referees, and they're going to follow that rule book to the best of their ability. So we've gathered this morning as a family. There's a rule book that's been given. It's called the Word of God. And even though, as the referees are the minority on the field, they still make a decision based on the rule book, no matter what anybody else says. And they stand out in a crowd. It's not like they're going to hide when they're walking off the field. Everybody's going to see who the referees are. They're not going to know who their names are, but they're going to see them. They're going to be a vivid illustration. Here's the rules. I've got my zebra coat on. It says, I know the rule book, and I'm going to call the rules according to the book, no matter if you like it or don't like it. And we've been given a rule book, and we have an opportunity this morning, according to our rule book, to celebrate something. It's called communion. It's an opportunity to stop in the middle of all that's going on and say, wait a minute, I want to remember something. I want to pause and look back on something. So what I want you to do this morning is I want you to go to a passage of Scripture for you that the communion table means something for you this morning. I want you to look up a passage of Scripture that where we're going to specifically look at this morning that you love about Jesus' death. A passage of Scripture that it excites you as you gather around the communion table. What we'll do is if you just raise your hand and say, hey, I've got a verse, what we'll try to do is let you give us the verse. We'll try to get Nancy to put it on the screen, and then we'll let you read the verse. If you can't hear, Lord willing, we'll have some words on the screen this morning. So as you're gathered with me this morning, what's a passage of Scripture that's one of your favorites when it comes to Jesus' death? What would be one of your favorites? Okay, what would a passage be? John 14, 1 through 4. If you want to flip there, you can. If you don't, that's fine. Nancy has it on the screen, so go ahead and read it for us. Go ahead, Helen, if you'd read it for us. Okay, somebody else. Okay, what, Pat? What is the passage? Isaiah 53:6. All right, Linda, if you want to read it for us. Okay, somebody else. Where are you at? Isaiah 53:5. Okay, somebody else. Aunt Diane, where are you at? Psalm 34, 17, and 18. Okay, I want you to leave that verse right there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Anybody brokenhearted today? Mm-hmm. We're brokenhearted probably because God has allowed some circumstances in our lives to get our attention, hasn't he? And what I'm learning is those circumstances don't stop until the day you take your last breath. So he wants you to be brokenhearted, so you come to him and say, Father, I need help today. Father, I can't do this. Father, this doesn't make sense. Would you help me today? Somebody else. Yeah, where are you looking at, Gary? John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Okay, hold on a second. Give me one second. John 15 was put on the screen, so if somebody can't hear you, at least they can see it. So John 15, 5 and 6. Okay, go ahead. Okay, somebody else. Where are you at, Paul? Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Just give us just one second. We'll see if we can get on the screen so everybody can see it. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Okay, just go ahead and read it, Paul. Read it real loud. Okay, somebody else. Yes, sir, where are you at? Hebrews 12, 2 to 4. Okay, just give me one second. We'll see if we can get it on the screen. Hebrews 12, 2 through 4, and then you can read it for us. All right, go ahead. Romans 5:8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. You can read it. Go ahead. Amen. Okay, somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. Just give us one second. Put that on the screen. Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12. Okay, go ahead.
Plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you hope and a future. And you will call upon me and come and pray to me.
Okay. Yes. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6, 6. Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Luke 23, verse 34. Okay, Luke 23, 34. Just a second. Okay, there we go. Yes, sir.
Luke chapter 2, verses 28, 29 through 32.
Luke 2, 29 through 32.
Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory.
I want us all to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. You don't have to put that on the screen, Nancy, but if you don't mind, I'd like to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. That's 235. If you don't mind pulling that up, that would be great. So Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. I would like for you all to turn there with me. As I think about Christ's death, I think about these words. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. Verse 28. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took a staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put it on his own clothes on him. They led him away to be crucified. What fascinates me as I read through that chunk of scripture is to know that he had the power to walk away and he chose not to. He knew the one that was going to take the reed and hit him next. He could have stopped that hand anytime he wanted to. But he chose not to. He wanted us to have a vivid image and for Matthew to write down some words so that we would gather around the table, that we would say, you know what? This is what he did for us. This is how much he loved us. And so this morning as we've gathered, I'd like for you to sing with me. If you want to pull out your hymn book, you can. It's number 235. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Jesus, to think about this morning that his body was broken for you. That was a choice that was made. That they spit in his face. It was a choice that he allowed. And I think it's so easy at times just to distance ourselves and we could go through the tradition. Oh, let's just pass the bread right on through. Let's move the cup right on through. But it's really important for you to stop this morning as you sing these words, as you reminisce some of the things in your mind. It was for you. It's so easy to say, well, it was for them. No, it was for you. He humbled himself for you because he knew there was a day that would come when you would be gathered in a building in Highlands County, Sebring, Florida, and you would be singing back to him, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." So those of you that have really good voices, which is not me, somebody will help us. As we sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When I survey, join me, "the wondrous cross." amazing as you think about the cross and you think about the beaten and the brokenness and the willingness that he shed for you. And it's just not about his broken body. It's about his resurrection. It's about that he's alive this morning. And so as we've gathered together this morning, what is a favorite verse that comes to your mind about Christ being alive today? What would be something that you would like to read just to remind you that it's not, he did die, he did shed his blood, but 3 days later he rose again. So what would be a passage of scripture that would be a blessing to you this morning as you think about that? Anyone? Yes. Okay, John 3:16. Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank you. Yes, Moni. Amen. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Okay, somebody else? Susie. John 14. Okay. John 14, 15 through 21. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
It's Romans 8, verse 31. Continuing.
Okay.
What then shall we say in response to this?
Yeah,
if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will then bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, John 11, 25 and 26. Yes, sir. Okay, Luke 24, 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to all go with me to back to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 17. And in just a minute, Nancy will go to another song, Nothing But the Blood, number 223. But I want you all to turn with me, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" It's very interesting to me at this time in history, the Passover, the Jews knew exactly what was happening and taking place. It goes all the way back to Egypt, goes back even a little bit farther than that, go back all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve's choice. Something had to die. And throughout all of this time up to this point, in order for there to be forgiveness of sin, something had to be sacrificed. There had to be blood that was shed. There was no way around it. But this Passover was different. It wasn't going to be an animal. It was going to be the Messiah. It was going to be their best friend. It was going to be their teacher, their leader. And he was going to be the one that was be willing to say, at this time in history, I will be the sacrifice. I will be the one that will shed my blood so people will be set free. In verse 16, he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to one another and after one another, 'Surely, Lord, not I.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It is better for him to have not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely, not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' And then he says something else. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And so today, it's not an NFL football game, but there is a rule book, and it is God's word to you. And what he's saying to us very clearly today, 2,000 years ago, there was a Passover service. Jesus sat there with his disciples. He knew what was coming next. He knew that his body would be broken. He knew that his blood would be shed, but he didn't just shed it for just a coincidence or happenstance. He shed his blood so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sin today. So that you and I would have hope today. I've just been reminded of some verses as I was thinking about our time together today as we plan to celebrate that forgiveness of sins only comes through Jesus. There is no other way. That's what our rule book says. And no matter how big the crowds are around us, we need to be reminded today there is only one way for forgiveness. There's only one way for eternal life. And that comes through Jesus. That comes as you go basically through Romans. We're all sinners, Romans 3:23. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave us a gift. That gift was for the whole world. His name was Jesus. And God has given people opportunity from the day of his death on the cross until this day to say yes to that gift. One of the neat verses that I've been thinking my way through again is in Romans. And it's a verse that most of you know, and I could probably quote it, but I'd rather not quote it because I'll mess it up. It's in chapter 10. It says this, that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, as it is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all those who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called? Have you stopped and said, I need your forgiveness, Father? Have you stopped and said, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm saying today that I'm going to trust your payment plan. I'm going to trust that your son died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again so that you could have forgiveness of sin. See, that's what we're really saying today. Do this in remembrance of him. What are we remembering? His death for your sin. His death for my sin. For me to have the opportunity to call, say, you know what? I need you, Jesus. I ask for forgiveness. I just want to make sure that you've done that before you take from this table. Because that's what we are saying this morning. We are saying the only way for eternal life is through the cross. That's the only way. It's not about what you do. It's not about where you live. It's not by works. It's by grace. It's by faith. And I just want to say something here. I'm very simplistic when it comes to my grace and faith. But you'll demonstrate what your faith in is by how you live your actions. So it's one thing to say, oh, I have faith. Show me with your actions. It's very easy to sit in a building and say, yeah, Jesus, I want forgiveness of sin. I accept that free gift. But see, sons, no matter who they are, or daughters, no matter who they are, they look like their parents. There's some characteristic that if my son or my daughter walked in, you would say, oh, that's a Patterson. If he showed up today, would he say, yeah, that's my son, that's my daughter? Because I resemble them. You resemble him. So as we just transition and the guys will come forward here in just a second, I want to, as we sing this song, let's do the first and the last verse, Nancy. Nothing but the blood. I want you to join me in singing this morning as we, the guys come forward and as we prepare for communion. Nothing but the blood. Let's do the first and the second verse, Nancy.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh,
saying today, nothing but the blood, please join us in communion. I want to give you one last just moment of silence. You and Jesus, your heart, his heart. If there's anything that you need to settle before you take this bread and take this cup, I want to give you this time to do that now quietly. Father, thank you for your plan. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to have you as our Father. Thank you, Jesus, for a willingness to die for me. Thank you for allowing them to laugh at you and spit on you and rip your beard out because you wanted me to know your dad. And you wanted me to have hope today. And you wanted me to know that when you're broken, you're really made whole because I have you. So, Father, thank you for sending your son to die for me. Thank you for raising him to life 3 days later. Thank you for instilling in me the same power that rose Jesus from the dead to be able to be a light and a referee or to stand out for you in a world that you know is going in a different direction. So raise us up as warriors. And may we, our cry be the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Father. May we lead people to you, Jesus. And as we put us with people, may they open their hearts to say yes to you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, there's no better day than today for you to say, yeah, Jesus, I put my faith in you. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather as a family. In your name I pray, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes to this church in Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus, I wanted to say thank you again publicly as we've gathered as a family for your willingness to have your body broken for me, for us. Because you gave your body, our lives will never be the same. And so we just stopped this morning in a little community in a small town, Sebring, Florida, and we just stopped and say thank you for your broken body. Because our lives will never be the same. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. It's your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Saying, this cup is the new covenant. In my blood, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. His shed blood is what gives us life today. His willingness to sacrifice so you and I can have life. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being willing to stretch out your arms and allow them to nail you to a cross. And thank you for taking your last breath. I know you could have healed every single wound in your body instantaneously and came down off that cross. But you chose not to. And I say thank you today. Thank you for your shed blood that gives me life today. It's your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's close our time together with what a mighty God that we serve. We'll do it twice because it takes you normally once to get, you know, wound up, and the second time it really, really sounds good. So why don't you join me? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Here we go. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you. God bless. Have a great day.